Well, welcome. This is our second class on the parables of Jesus. We have some extra outlines that we'd like everybody to have. If you do not have one now, please, we'll make sure that they are somewhere around at the end. The class today is called, it's about the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. And when Bill and I put the class together, we came up with a title. It's called The Valuable Kingdom. And so, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today, is the valuable kingdom. By way of introduction, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 11, please. We started last week, we talked about the conflict of old and new, how Jesus came to bring something new. He was building on something that was incredible, but he came to bring something new. And Bill talked about, you know, what the purpose of the, he gave us a little introductory comments on what the purpose of the parables are. I wanted to, as a way to sort of get us and set the stage for what we're going to read, the parables we're going to talk about today, I'd like to study a little bit just in the book of Matthew about Jesus' ministry. Because really what we want this class to be is we want it to be a ministry to us. Jesus intended these parables to minister to us, to help us to grow in our faith, to understand what the kingdom of heaven was all about. Verse 25, Jesus is, early in his ministry, and he says, he had just got finished talking, and he had expressed some woe to a couple of cities that did not repent at his preaching. And then he says this. He says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. It's like he's saying here, what Bill talked about last week that I really want to reiterate as we study these parables. The parables had two purposes. The first purpose was to reveal, and then paradoxically, the second purpose was to conceal. You know, it was like the same, he told the same story to two different hearts, and to one it revealed all kinds of incredible, wonderful things about God, and to the other, it was like, what are you talking about? I can't figure this out. What are you trying to tell me? And so, you know, I think this passage here, he's revealing sort of, it kind of reiterates what his parable is all about. He was wanting to reveal something new, and what he's looking for little children. So today I hope we all can have a heart of little children as we listen to the valuable kingdom. If you study these passages up through chapters 11 and 12, you see that, you know, a lot of what he was doing in his ministry, I think if you asked him, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, but I get the impression it's sort of like chapter 12, he's having this confrontation with the Pharisees about being Lord of the Sabbath and about they weren't following these right rules. And then, then they had some arguments, and later on in chapter 12, about in verse 22, they talked about, you know, you're Beelzebub, aren't you? Aren't you demon possessed? And he was arguing with them. And then, you know, finally, you know, like in verse 38, later on, then they start asking for miraculous signs. You know, and that's one of the things that Paul was talking about. He said in his ministry to Jews, what did he always say? He said they're looking for miraculous signs. You know, so Jesus was not all that. Impressed, that's not the kind of ministry he wanted to have. He wanted to have a ministry where he taught in parables, and people whose hearts were right would be able to take something with it. And the thing about it is, parables are so simple that they're incredibly powerful. And if the heart was right, it would elicit a much more powerful, effective, productive relationship with God than just having a bunch of rules. And I think that's where, you know, we have to really, when we study these parables, I hope what we really see is, we're not going to have a lot of rules that come out of this. It's going to be about your heart. It's going to be about, it's going to be more challenging, really, than just reading a bunch of rules to you. Sometimes, you know, it's like, it's easier than just having a checklist. You know, but I did my five things today on my checklist. I feel great. Eventually that wears out. Jesus, The wisdom of God is that he taught us through parables because he gave us principles, not rules. Well, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 13 and get to our class. The class today is based on verses 44 and 46. Very short, succinct, but incredibly powerful parables. What I want to do today is we want to ask the question in these parables, what is Jesus' message? What is it? Well, let's go ahead and read the passage and see what it says. He's giving this to them. And in fact, what happened was he had been out teaching publicly, and he taught the parable of the weeds, and then they came back and they got together with just the disciples, and they asked him, explain to us the parable of the weeds. And he just got finished doing that. So there was really he was teaching this parable with just the disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And there's our parable. Now, that's just a short parable, but I think we could spend the next 2 or 3 hours just talking about it. There is so much truth in this. There is so much principle that applies to our lives. As many people as we have in this room, every one of us, this principle gets right where we're at. Gets right there, right to the heart. And what is the message that Jesus is saying to us? I think one of the messages that we want to talk about today is the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing that you have. That you can have if you don't have it now. And if you have it now, it is the most valuable thing you have. There is nothing in this world, nothing, and we'll go through this in a minute, more valuable than the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he was telling his disciples. And I think as they lived their life, they demonstrated that perfectly. All of them died as martyrs for the faith, except one. And he died in exile, all by himself. They showed, they lived this conviction out. The most valuable thing we have. And the same truth principles for us today. It is the most valuable thing we have. The kingdom of heaven. Now, you may ask a question, and I wanted to go into this just for a few minutes. What is the kingdom of heaven? There's a lot of debate and discussion about it. You know, we've had, and I want to read this, if I could. Alan Rouse had turned us on to this great website called eSword, and there's these commentaries. So I wanted just to read this, because I think it does a better job than I could. It says, the phrases kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven have been supposed to have a considerable variety of meaning. Some have supposed that they refer to the state of things in heaven. You know, this is the way it is in heaven. Others, to the personal reign of Christ on earth. Others, that they mean the church. Us, the group. Or, the reign of Christ in the hearts of his people. And I say to that, I say yes to all that. The kingdom of heaven isn't just in a box that's one thing. You know, it is the church. This is the kingdom of heaven. If you're a disciple and Jesus is your king, there's some kind. This is God's kingdom. It's also the reign of God in your heart. Yes. It's more than just, if I come to the kingdom, it's just because I participate and I come every Sunday and I come every Wednesday or Thursday or I come to meetings. If the reign of God's not in my heart, I may be a resident alien, but am I in the kingdom? It's all those things. It is the state of affairs in heaven. You know, we're preparing to go to heaven. This is what our life here is. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The value of the kingdom. We are preparing, living in the church, learning how to love each other and get along, learning how to forgive. This is all preparation for going to heaven. I've heard one sage person say, I think there's a lot of truth to it. If you don't like the people, if you say you're a Christian and that you don't like the people that you're around, that you fellowship with, well, you're not going to like heaven. Because those are the people that are going to be there. It's the people you're fellowshipping, you love. Amen. But if you love, and sometimes that's hard if we have struggles. We got to learn how to love each other. So this is all preparation. So the kingdom is a lot of things. But what we see here today, we're going to talk about is the kingdom of God is very valuable. How valuable? You know, we start, and you know, that's where it gets home. That's where the principle gets home. I want to just go through it. It is more valuable than anything God has allowed you to have. And everything we have, He's allowed us to have it. I'm going to talk, let's talk about some things that are kind of challenging. Any relationship. The relationships we have. The little baby that I've held two babies in my life. Or I've held more, but I've held two babies that were mine. You have that baby in your hand? It's a relationship. But the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than any relationship. That's hard. That's not an easy teaching, but when you apply it, I think God has a lot of wisdom in it. Your wife. Your loved ones. Sometimes it could be a relationship that's not a good one. And sometimes it's a codependent relationship. That can be very, very valuable to us. Either because of the emotions we feel, but we can't let those things control our love for God and our being in the kingdom of God. The reign of God in our life. It's more valuable than any possession that we have. You know, it could be one possession. It could be, for some people, millions of possessions. The kingdom of God is more valuable than any possession that we have. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable than any talent or ability God's given us. There might be some talents that we have, but the kingdom of heaven is more valuable. Your ability to go to heaven is more valuable than any talents you have. And that talent has to be made subservient to the reign of God in our lives in the kingdom of heaven. Any health. That's something as I get older, I'm 44 now, I'm not taking my health. I used to take my health for granted. It was like a given. And I see people, I really struggled with relating to people that struggle with health. I had a hard time relating. And I will confess that I still do. But when you get older, you start realizing health, I've got to be grateful for that. At the same time, it is not more valuable than the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything that Satan might use in my health to get me to stop being faithful to God, to not let God impact my life. It's more valuable than any noble purpose or objective or purpose for your life. It's more valuable than any of those things. We have people who have noble purposes. But if it doesn't have to do with the kingdom of heaven, it's not more valuable. It's the most valuable thing. So, I want us to realize that. Now, what I want to talk about is two circumstances. Jesus taught these two parables right together. And it's interesting, the circumstances are a little different. The first circumstance is the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. You know, and some of the commentators kind of interesting. They say it was like a gold mine. Because you ask the question, they got into this big debate of, if it's buried treasure, why don't you just dig it up and take it and run off with it, you know? And some people say, well, it was a gold mine. And some people say, well, it was a buried treasure, and he was just really honest. You know, I think both points are fine. The principle is that, we live our lives, and I want to say this, you know, all you youngsters in here, teens and some of you people, if you haven't found it, we all are literally walking. If you're not in the kingdom of God right now, you are walking on buried treasure. It's under you right now. You're walking on it. You just got to go. What you got to do is you got to be like this guy, and you got to realize it's down there. You just got to start digging. And you dig it. You dig in here. Start digging in there, and you will find the buried treasure. Some people, you know, he just discovered it. He just happened to walk on it. And that's the way a lot of us are. You know, we're coming to church. We're here. And the buried treasure has been under our feet for months, for years. Sometimes we haven't even necessarily known it, but then hopefully one day we'll discover it, and it will be there for us. The other person that's interesting he talks about is a person who's been looking for it. He's been searching and searching and searching. And if you're there, keep searching. And what you got to do is you've got to look for the right thing that's worth everything. And that's what you're going to find when you read the scriptures. That's the only way you're going to be able to figure out if it's the right investment. Is if it's right there. The buried treasure is under our feet. Now, the question is, in this parable is, have you bought the treasure? The person discovered it, and we know it's there, we realize it's there. What did Jesus say we do with it? How do we respond to it? Well, it says we sell in our joy. And I think that's what we talked about last week, was Jesus came to bring a lot of joy. We sold everything we had. It's like when we realize it. And we're going to talk about, what I want to do is spend a little bit of time today talking about the value in terms of the investment. And I hope what it does is it realizes, man, this is ought to bring me a lot of joy. What I want to do is let's look in, we're going to talk about the first thing it brings is eternal life. And what I want to do is I want to just reference a couple of scriptures and talk about eternal life. Daniel 12, verse 2, it says that Michael God's going to call Michael, and they're going to have, people are going to go to everlasting life or everlasting damnation. It's in Daniel 12, 2. It says, and that point is, I want to reference that because even in the Old Testament, it talks about eternal life. That's what God intended the people that were in that time to understand is there is eternal life. John 6:27 says, work for food. Jesus tells the people, work for food that endures to eternal life. John 3:16, Bible says, or Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I want to ask a question. How long is eternity? Forever. I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure I understood it right. Because I take it for granted. I just, yeah, forever. And when it's in the dictionary, it said, without beginning or without end. I mean, it's kind of like in mathematical terms, you could call it infinity. You say, I can't. We can't relate to that because God, in creating us and creating the world, has given us time. We measure our lives in time. And so that's all we really have to understand. Eternity. We understand it in the context of, you know, well, we do know basically, I hope, and we have about eternity, is that it's longer than what we're going to live here on earth. You know, fundamentally. It's forever. It's without end. So the first great investment, and I'm going to put a little bit on my salesman cap. In fact, I'm going to take my coat off. Salesman, if y'all ever had, you know, people come by and, you know, talk about investments. I have a lot of analogies. When you hear me, I relate to, you know, Andy Griffith. Does anybody know Andy Griffith? Okay. You might hear some Andy Griffith stuff. I don't know if you hear it today, but you might hear some Andy Griffith stuff. You might hear some Gilligan's Island. I'm dating myself. That's way back. That's when I was a kid back in the 70s. Huh? 60s? Okay. Well, I watched the reruns in the 70s. That's what I remember. You have to wait for Nick to come out and see the same ones every 3 weeks. And MASH, you like MASH? So you might hear some analogies from, you know, I mean, that's how perspective. And then, of course, sports. I might have one sport one today if I get carried away. But I don't plan on getting carried away. So that's what you'll probably hear from me. But also today, so much of what I've understood about value is related with investments. And so you have these guys come in and they want to sell you something. And so I'm going to try to do a little bit of my best imitation of some of these guys and give you some, I want to get the value to you. I'm going to try to get to you and say, here's the value of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? It says, if you've already bought in, I want to remind you. And if you haven't yet, I want to sell you on it. So eternity. Now, if you take our life, anybody math people in here? People like math? What happens, okay, thank you. What happens when you take a really small number and you divide it by a really big number? What kind of number do you get? You get a small number. You take a really small number and you divide it by a really big number, and that result is really small. Okay, it approaches zero. If you get a small enough number and a big enough number, you know, below, and you kind of say a ratio, does anybody know what ratio is, like a proportion? You measure your life. So if you take our life today, this is eternity. I'm selling eternity to you, okay? You take our life, What's it, 70 years? 70? 65? And what you do is you look at eternity, which is really, 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 really big number. And you divide 65 by a really, really, really big number. What's the ratio, the value? The value is like nothing. You know, now, if that can be very, sometimes these guys can, they tell you that, and they paint it right in your face, and you're doing the exact opposite. You know, investment-wise, you feel, you feel a little prideful because, you know, they're telling you, your investment's bad, you got a bad strategy. Well, if you're living for this life, you have a bad strategy.
That's true.
Okay? Bad strategy. Bad investment strategy. Getting no return compared to eternity. You know? Take Methuselah, 800 years. You know, and we'll take the extreme examples, you know. We've had the people that die, we've had humans that die as infants. And we have Methuselah, 800 years. You take the extremes, it's still no return.
Yeah.
Nothing. Let's talk about wealth. Let's talk about the poorest person that's ever lived, never had anything. You know, value-wise, no return. If you know, eternity's much better, you know. The wealthiest man that's ever lived. You know, Solomon. We got a lot of candidates in our, you know, read, you know, Time Magazine, you know, Fortune 500, and all these candidates out there. How do these people make all this money? Man. All these people making all this money. What's their return? The return is still zilch. Zilch for this life. If you're living for this life. We're getting a big picture perspective on the value of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wants us to have. So, that's a big number without beginning or end. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 7. And this is another great value that you get out of investing in the kingdom of heaven. You get eternity, which is a lot better than anything. It's better, and I've heard, and I think this is true, and it even says in the scriptures, it's better in one day in heaven is better than your best day on earth. It's not even close. Your best day on earth, it couldn't even, you know, be close. So, you know, to invest down here is just not smart. Verse 7, I want to read this. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there's two things in here that I want to, this passage, that are extra value to the kingdom of heaven. And these values aren't necessarily associated with eternity, but they get us there. One of them is faith. The value of faith. Faith is incredible value to have here on earth. As far as being a Christian concerned, it's what drives us to continue. It's the energy. It's the gasoline in your motor. It's the thing. I could use these other things, but faith is what's going to make the difference for us to really enjoy this life. That's what makes Christianity fun, is having faith. Unseen. It says what does it say? We have not seen him. We haven't physically seen Jesus, but we love him. That takes faith. It takes faith to when we take communion, and say, Jesus, I believe you did this for me 2,000 years ago. I believe that. I believe that you did that, that you had enough love for me to do that. That takes faith. That's what makes Christianity joyful, is that Jesus died for us on the cross. We're going to talk that he was willing to do that. That brings incredible. It talks about how much love God has. It's like a perfect illustration of God's love, that he let his own son die on a cross. You've got to have faith to believe that. And what it also says, even though you not see him now, which means right now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, which we're looking forward to. And that is the salvation of our souls. And I want to make a point. Our souls, if we're a Christian, our souls have been saved. And I want to talk about that for a second. What does it mean to save our soul? What does it mean when you're saved? You're rescued. And what is it that gets rescued? Our soul. What is our soul? Our soul is the essence of what we are. There's a lot to that. There's a lot of people out there whose souls aren't saved. And it's not even about heaven or hell. It's about how they can live today. It's about their life right now. It's miserable to live with a soul that isn't saved. You know, I'm going to use an example that I've read about, you know, the dentist that murdered, you know, the guy that was pled guilty to murder. I mean, we sit there, oh, that's awful. Oh, what a dreadful human being. How could a person do that? We're that close. Think about the agony of murdering somebody over 10 years ago. That's a soul. You know, to do terrible things, to say bad, our souls hurt and weep when we talk about somebody behind their back and they find out. Our souls hurt then. And we have the opportunity, you know, there's nothing more painful in our life than Satan wants to do to us is to damage our souls. He wants to get in there and hammer, hammer, hammer. Now, being in the kingdom of heaven, the good news is through repentance, through living in the light, through confessing, through being open, we can keep our souls saved. Amen. We can keep our souls healthy and rescued and not living, you know, like I've got these incredible burdens in our life. This gentleman is an extreme example, but we live on various planes of that. You know, and we've got, and so that is an incredible benefit of being in the kingdom of heaven. Don't ever, ever minimize that and the value of that in our life. Now what I want to do is part of the sales pitch. Let's turn to Matthew 19. It's under your feet. It's buried under your feet right now. It's there. Just a reminder. Guys, you bought. This is what you're holding. You've got it. The kingdom of heaven. The church. The reign of God in our lives. God calling our shots. We have that. Or it's buried under your feet right now. 19 verse 16. Now, this is always what they do when they do any sales things. They always come in with like, I want to show you two examples. A guy that did it our way and a guy that didn't. And I want to, you tell me which one's the better one. So we're going to do that right now. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I've kept," the young man said. What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" This perfect guy came in. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Then the light came on for Peter. And he answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things." So all this stuff can get renewed, huh? "When the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Amen. One thing that's always baffled me, and I look at, you know, our through history. What's this guy's name? I don't even know what this guy's name is. And I bet everyone back then knew what it was. Talk about first and last. I mean, you know, we're watching it here. I'm just going to make my little points here. What's the guy's name? We don't know. It's almost, he's just another faceless person who lived for this world. And the faceless person. Jesus actually said, and a lot of people, a lot of scholars and commentaries say that Jesus was actually giving this guy a personal invitation to be an apostle. He didn't say this to the legion. He said, "Hey, go tell 10 cities what we did." But he told this guy, "Hey, I want you to come with me. If you give this up, you've got some moxie. You've got some character. I want you to hang in. You would die for me and for the people that you're going to save. Come and get with me." Don't even know his name. Who's ever heard of Peter? With Peter, you know, if you talk in terms of back at that day, you know, who's this Peter guy? Who's rich and ruler? Oh, well, his name is Saint, you know, whatever it was, you know, Polymer Isis IV, the son of so-and-so, and he ruled 8 countries, and he had a net worth of $450 million, and blah, 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 blah. You know, we don't know his name is. Just the rich young ruler, the RYR. You know? And I'm not trying to put down on him, but I'm trying to show you, you know, that's what they do when they sell you something, is they take that guy, and I hear that sales thing, I say, I almost feel bad for that guy, man. He blew that one, didn't he? You know? But hey, we're living life right now. We're in the same, making the same kind of decisions that the rich young ruler made about what's important, what's valuable, what's going on, you know, what's going on in our life. Same kind of decisions. It's not that different, especially in the United States. You know, I mean, some of our poorest people would be considered pretty high middle class in some third world countries. You know? So we got to really, you know, I mean, it's there. It applies. What's interesting, though, is I look at, so let's talk about Peter's investment. You think he had, his soul got saved. Do you think he had better friends after he became a disciple than before? If you just kind of look at his personality, I think he probably did. You know, I mean, he was very impetuous. You know, he's a fisherman. You know, I think he had better quality everything. You know, if you want to be rich and famous, not rich and famous, but if you want to be famous, become a disciple. Because you're going to have eternal notoriety. Never die. Peter's going to have eternal notoriety. He got it here. You know, we just got finished reading the passage that he wrote about the salvation of our soul. I think you realize, man, my soul got saved. I'm a better human being. Than if I hadn't taken up Jesus' offer and sold that, you know, gave everything up. Much better human being. And I think that's what Jesus is in, wants to do for all. That's the value of the investment. Okay. Well, that's about as much of the sale I can give. Now, all I want to do is I want to talk about two things. Because there's two people here today. There's two types of people here today. And I think there's only two. There's those that have bought, and you have the kingdom of heaven right now. And there's those that haven't. And I just want to remind you, it's under your feet. It's right there. Not that far away. You've got to dig right here. And you can pick it up. You can get it. And I hope I've sold you on the fact that it's valuable. It's more valuable than all the other things we talked about earlier. For those of you that have it, I want to talk about an investment strategy. There's a lot of strategies out there, if you follow this at all. There's, you know, rebalancing your accounts, you know, where you get in here and, you know, if you had a bad year, you got to rebalance them and go get something else and try something new. You know, if you had a bad couple of years, you got to get out and, you know, go find something else. I want to sell you on buy and hold. Hold. What that means is you buy it, You buy the pearl, you get the treasure, you found the kingdom of heaven, you hold on to it. You don't sell it. It's possible. You know, if you read the scriptures, you know, Matthew 24, verse 12, let me give you that reference. Jesus said, in fact, you've got to hold it to the end. Your love, it'll be challenging. You might want to, you know, you'll be motivated. There'll be times when it's like, this, the smartest thing that you might want, that seems like at the time might do is, because your love's growing cold, might be to sell it. Maybe find something else that gives you more, you know, thrill or more satisfaction. What Jesus says, he says, if you do that, what it really means is not that you're not getting satisfied, it means your love grew cold. Go back to the cross. Go back to what I can give you some love. I've got enough love. Make your heart beat bigger. You know, there's a lot of other passages that talk about if you continue in your faith, establish and firm, not move from the hope held out. Hold it. That's a simple message, not real complex. Hold your investment. Don't give it up. A lot of people giving it up. I've been here. I baptized 1983. I'm going to lay it out. There's people that have given up that I thought would never sell. I've known them. They would never. You back in 1988. I'll never sell it. 1998. I'll never sell it. 2003. Where are they? Oh, they just, you know, they just gave up. You know? Hold it. Because I tell you what, you know, there's a lot of crazy, crazy stuff out there. There's a lot of, you know, it's not over. It's about faith. It's about saving our soul. Hang on to it. But, you know, when you get that pearl of great price, more valuable than anything else, please hold it. Hold it. So, I wanted just to wrap it up and say, you know, thank you for listening to what I have to share. I hope this was beneficial. What I hope today that we walk away with is no matter how it applies to you, and I'm not here to say, you know, the kingdom is a lot of influence. That's why I think the message this morning was so good about getting advice. Because I don't, you know, because I focus more on, here's the principle. I want to deliver the principle. I'm not trying to tell you this is how you've got to make that decision. But I think getting advice is a good way to go about doing it. Yeah. And if this stirs you to say, you know, getting advice like Moses, the most humble man in the world, ever did, and I hope that motivates you and prompts you to do that. But what I wanted you to walk away with today is, know one thing. What Jesus taught the disciples was that the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing that God will ever give to us. Amen. Thank you. And now we can go. Is there anything you want to say?